Okay, today we're going to be talking about no greater joy. If you have your app, all of the notes will be in there for today. It'll also be up on the screen. I know sometimes I have a big long intro, but I don't. So let's just jump right into the scripture, shall we? We're going to be in 1 John 3, starting at verse 11. Some of these texts will be in the Greek that are taken apart. I'm endeavoring, because we've gone to more of a multi-generational type family service in here. I really felt strongly that I'm going to start using the NIRV, which is the New International Reader's Version, that I believe is like written at like a fourth or fifth grade reading level. Just so that a lot of our young people that are going to be in service aren't hearing these giant words. They're like, I don't even know what that means. I always call them churchy words. We'll again, if we're taking it the text apart, we'll be using the Greek. Otherwise, we'll be using the NIRV. So this is John writing his epistles. This is the same John that wrote the gospel according to John. But if you have a physical Bible, this is towards the end of your Bible. So we're in 1 John 3:11. John says, "For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning. Love one another." Those of you who were here last week were like, "You just taught on love last week." I know there's love in here, but it's not the main point. Or maybe it is. So he says, there is a message that you have heard from the very beginning. Now, he's not talking about in Genesis. He's talking about the message from Christ, right? Jesus summed up everything he did and said, now I give you a new commandment, love others exactly as I loved you. Like, a people tend to just say, oh, we're just supposed to love people. But don't forget, we're supposed to love people exactly the way that Jesus loved us. So it's not like, well, I'm just going to love people a little bit because I don't really like that person. That's not your option. Could you imagine if Jesus did that to you? Well, I'm really going to love Pastor Josh, but I just don't really like him. I always say the way that you like to receive from God, that's the way that you should give. I think there's a scripture on that. Freely you have received, freely give. It's in the same way. And again, the interesting thing is the bar is always Christ, right? Love others. Well, how do I love others? Exactly the way Jesus loved you. So he said, you've heard this message from the beginning, right? Love one another. And again, I put it in parentheses because he's actually quoting, it's actually more likely that this verse or this letter was written before the Gospel of John, but that doesn't mean that Jesus said it after this letter. Do you understand that? Like, Jesus said things, and many things were oral tradition and were written down later. So, he's quoting Jesus, love others as I have loved you. And he said, you've heard this from the beginning. Let's go on. Now, he's going to talk about what love is. Suppose someone sees a brother or sister in need and is able to help them. And suppose that person doesn't take pity on these needy people. Then how can the love of God be in that person? So what is he saying? Don't just do this, because this doesn't mean anything. Your actions are the proof of what you really believe. Now, people get weird about this sometimes because they're like, well, I thought I'm saved by grace. I'm not saved by works. That is correct. You are saved by grace, and you're not saved by works. You're saved by grace through faith, But how many of you know James, the half-brother of Jesus, comes along later and says, that's true, you are saved by grace through faith, but faith without works is dead. In the same way, and he compares it, it's so much dead, in the same way that if you would remove the spirit out of the body, and the body is dead without the spirit, he says, so is faith without works. And again, I've used the example before. It's an easy example. Like, I don't even think about it when I sit down on here whether this is going to hold my weight or not. I've accepted and I have faith for sitting on this stool, right? But if I said, well, I really believe that the stool can hold my weight, and they're like, really? Then sit on it. And I'm like, I don't know. Then I don't really have faith for it. So in the same way, that's what this is saying, is that if you say you have love, I love God. Well, God says, then love other people. Okay, I love other people. Well, then go and help that person. I don't know. You know, I don't know what they're getting. You know, I know the Holy Spirit's telling me to do something for them, but I feel like, you know, they're just kind of deadbeats and they need to get a job or something like that. That's not in Scripture. This specifically gives an example. He's like, you should love other people. Let me give you an example. If you see someone in need, and you don't take pity on these needy people, how can the love of God be in that person? So basically, if you're saying, I have the love of God on the inside of yourself, and you don't help people, you are lying. You're like, man, that's really harsh, Pastor Josh. No, take it up with the Apostle John, who heard it from the Holy Spirit, so ultimately take it up with, take it up with God. Let's go on. So this is the next verse. Dear children, don't just talk about love. Put your love into action, then it will truly be love. I think that this is something that we can get caught up in as believers. You understand that the world and technology, we have so much information, so much knowledge, and we get it through all kinds of social media, YouTube, like the age of information and the quickness that we can get it is like no other time in history. And so I think sometimes we could apply that wrongly to Christianity about saying, well, I have all of this knowledge, but then it doesn't play out. And to give you a scripture on that is the Bible says knowledge puffs up. Like, having knowledge makes you feel good about yourself. So it says, knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. So it's not saying pick one or the other. Like, you need to have knowledge. That doesn't mean stop reading your Bible. That doesn't mean stop praying. That doesn't mean stop having a relationship with Jesus. But basically what it's saying is we need to not get puffed up with knowledge. Love edifies. I can tell you, as I've met people in Christian circles, especially people that are like at the seminary level and stuff, I'm not saying everybody, but I see how easy it is for people that have maybe gone to Bible college for 8 years, that they don't just have a 4-year Bible college degree, but they may have a 6-year or an 8-year, and they have a doctorate of divinity, and it just becomes a lot of heady knowledge. And again, I'm not saying that getting a doctorate of divinity is wrong. I'm just saying that many times because of knowledge that we can lose love edifying others. So he says, put your love into action, then it will truly be love. Let's go on. Here's how we know that we hold to the truth. What is the here's how we know? Corey, go back a slide. It's this verse. Actually, go back one more. So it's this verse about loving people. Now go to the next slide. And it's this about putting your love into action. Now go to the next one. And he's saying, here's how we know that we hold to the truth. Well, how do we know that we hold to the truth? You're loving people. So we talk a lot about love at this church, but the bottom line is that truth is love. People will say all the time, well, we need to speak the truth in love. Well, absolutely, because the truth is love. Right? You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Well, what is the truth? The truth is God chose you. He loves you. While you were yet a sinner, Christ died for you. He's wrapped you in his arms. He's given you an inheritance. It's all of these things. And what the devil wants to come to do, or the world through the devil, the devil through the world, is all about just lying to you about this. Have you ever had moments where you just don't feel God's love for you? Well, what do we say at this church? The kids know it. Who cares how you feel? And again, those of you who are visiting, don't pick up your stones yet to start hitting me with large rocks. I'm saying that when it comes to the Bible versus your feelings don't get to trump the Word of God. Your situation doesn't get to trump the Word of God. Your experience doesn't get to trump the Word of God. Your faith in the Word of God should be dictating your experiences. Can I give you an example? I never believed that we could lay hands on the sick, that we could heal people. I always just thought it was, you pray this prayer and if it be your will. But when I heard about the Holy Spirit and I received the Holy Spirit and I actually found out that we're supposed to be doing these things today, I'd never seen anybody healed before then. And then when I changed my mind and went with other people and started laying hands on people, we saw sick people healed all the time. What changed was God up there going, I'm not going to do any healing until Josh turns 27 and he gets a little head knowledge and then he finds some other friends, then I'm going to sovereignly heal. I know that's not how it happened. It's we get transformed by the renewing of our mind. So that's what this is. It's about knowing the truth, and the truth is he loves you. You know, when people fight against, and I'm just picking on it because it's in my mind about healing. Like people are like, well, it's not always, you know, God doesn't want everybody well. And in fact, sometimes he wants you sick and all of that kind of stuff. That's a lie from the enemy, because the truth is God loves you. How many parents love their kids? How many of you would intentionally put sickness on them to teach them something? And yet God supposedly loves your children more than you do. Sometimes we need to bring our brains to church, amen? And just talk through some of this stuff logically. Like when people say, well, I believe God allowed this to teach me something. I'm like, cool, you going to the doctor?
Well, yeah.
Cool, are you taking medicine? Yeah. Stop trying to get out of God's will. Right? If he wanted you to be sick, why are you trying to not be sick?
Duh.
And if some of you are like, are you making fun of me because I believe this? No, I'm saying we have to use our brains. We can't have these high and lofty answers that aren't even in Scripture because we just think they sound cool. Well, God works in mysterious ways. Yeah, the Bible says in Colossians chapter 1 that the mystery has been revealed, Christ in you, the hope of glory. This stuff is in our Bibles. Did you know it? It's awesome. We got to come against religion. Amen. We have to, you know, we've talked about cutting ourselves off from the word Christian because it's just taken on so many bad connotations, and let's just be followers of Jesus Christ. Because Christian can mean anything these days. I'm not angry. I'm passionate. This stuff set me free so long ago, and I still get excited every time I read it. And I know that there's other people that are in this stage that have recently been filled with the Holy Spirit. Maybe it's in the last couple years. Maybe it was at family night, and they're just like, this stuff is so awesome. I'm like, I know, isn't it? And I'm still excited today. And I get excited when other people are getting excited. We're supposed to be doing the works of Jesus. I'm actually teaching on it this Wednesday. If some of you are like, where's all the scripture that we're supposed to be doing the things that Jesus did, like healing the sick and raising the dead? Come on Wednesday, I'll give you the scriptures. But we have just become a lazy church in America where it's just, I don't know what to do, just pray. Well, what about this situation? This person's sick. I don't know, just pray and then say if it be your will. Well, yeah, but what about this situation? I don't know. You know, James even says something in his letter where he says, if you see someone in need, you know, let's say Rocky right here, she's cold and she's hungry. And I say, little one, go be warmed and filled in Jesus' name. Bye. James is like, That's ridiculous. If she needs to be warmed and filled, I should put a coat on her and give her some food. Practical Christianity is just walking, talking, acting like Jesus. That's it. So this is how we know that we hold to the truth. What? If we're loving one another. So the opposite would be true. If we are not loving one another as Christ loved us, then we're not holding to the truth, and the truth is not in us. The Bible says if you do not love, you do not know God. This says if you're not loving people in action, the love of God is not in you. And again, it seems harsh, but it's not trying to be harsh. It's telling you a reality. But we live in this world of, don't tell me I don't have the love of God on the inside of me. If I say I have the love of God on the inside of me, then I have the love of God on the inside of me. I'm like, cool, you're going to go help that person? No, you don't have the love of God inside of you. But we're so afraid to hurt people's feelings. You know that they're developing right now a law in Canada that some of the scriptures will be considered hate speech and you can go to jail? Well, that'll never happen in America. We're getting close, people. We're getting real close. So what's the truth? The truth is love. And here's how we put our hearts at rest. I love this. And if you've ever been anxious about anything or like your heart's really hurting about something, he tells us how to put our hearts at rest. Here's how we put our hearts at rest. Knowing that God is watching. If our hearts judge us, we know that God is greater than our hearts. And he knows everything. So what is he saying? If you're walking in love and loving people, never let your heart condemn you. You need to realize that your heart is part of your fallen nature in the same way your brain is part of your fallen nature. And so people are just like, how many times have you seen this in a movie? Just trust your heart. That is a bunch of baloney. Well, I just got to follow my heart. No, you don't, and you shouldn't. Because your heart can be fallen. Now, if your heart is towards Jesus, that's how you know. If your heart is towards loving people, that's how you know it's in the right place. But apparently, you can be loving people, and you might have this overwhelming feeling where you're judging yourself for something you've done. And he's like, listen, if you're living your life in love, if you're walking in love, if you're loving people, then there is no question that you love God. Right? Jesus said, what you do to the least of these, you did it unto me. Because people are saying, well, how do I love God? Do I sing to God? Do I pray to God? You can do all those things, but the greatest form of love towards God is keeping his commandments. How many times Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. And then you're like, okay, what's the commandments? Love one another. So if you are loving people, your love for God is not in question. Good news? So if our heart judge us, we know that God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Let's go on. Okay, so that's John's first epistle. This is his second one. There's three, we say epistles, sorry, that's a churchy word, three letters. Three different letters. So John starts off in this one. I, the elder John, am writing this letter. I am sending it to the lady chosen by God. Now, some people believe that he is referring to a specific person. Some people think that he's referring to a specific church. Because how many of you know that the church is the bride of Christ? But it could also be written to a specific person who has specific children, or it can be looked at that it's written to a specific church and the church people. But either way, it doesn't change the context. I am sending it to the lady chosen by God and her children. Now, this is important because sometimes people are like, well, I know I'm supposed to love everybody, but I don't always feel love towards people. Anybody ever struggle with this? I'm supposed to love people, but I don't always feel love towards them. John is actually going to show you that feelings aren't really the issue. Look how he phrases this. So he's writing to the lady chosen by God and to her children. I love all of you because of my feelings. That's not what it says. I love all of you because of the truth. Because the truth is love. So he says, I love all of you because of the truth. I'm not the only one who loves you. So does everyone who knows the truth. So it's not about feelings. I'm not saying feelings can't be involved. But truly loving people is loving people in truth. Why? Because Jesus is the way, he's the truth. So if I say I love you all in truth, or I love you all in Christ, in my feelings, I may be closer with some of you in relationship than others. And that's not wrong. How many of you know that Jesus sent out 70 people? First, he sent out 12. So he has the 12, he has the 70. It says that women were traveling with him, and so he had relationship with them. But I'm saying Jesus had different relationship levels. Here's the other thing. Out of his 12 closest guys, there's many situations where he took Peter, James, and John. That was it. On the Mount of Transfiguration, all the disciples were not there. And so we can have relationships, different levels of relationships, different levels of feelings that are involved, but he's saying in Christ, in truth, in the church, we are to love one another. Oh, and by the way, not just in the church, Jesus told us to love our enemies. Well, how can I love my enemies? How, if I don't have strong feelings for my enemies, and I'm not talking about strong good feelings, your feelings don't matter. You love them in Christ. You love them in truth. Does this make sense? Okay, I know because it's very quiet, there might be some processing going on. But this is the walk of the believer, right? You hear the word, you hear truth, and you have to decide whether you believe it or not. Let me help you just believe it, because if you decide you don't believe one area of the Bible, then just rip that out. And then you don't believe another error and rip it out. And then you start to question if any of this is true. It's either all true or none of it's true. Because if we build a belief system based on what you agree with in the Bible and what you don't, you have built a God in your own image. And the Bible calls that idolatry. And that's what we're seeing happen in the church today. Well, I want to go to a church that's LGBTQ friendly. That's not a church. I'm not going to teach on this today, but I can show you many, 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 many scriptures that that is not a thing. There's all kinds of churches that are teaching all kinds of different things. And I'm not saying Seven Mountains Church is the only one that's teaching everything correctly. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying is that a lot of people are creating a Jesus in their image. And that's wrong. Jesus is the I am. If he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, God. So if your understanding about what God allows, doesn't allow, who he is, his character, leave the realm of Jesus Christ, you've made a God in your image. You cannot know God the Father outside of God the Son. So he says, I love all of you because of the truth. I'm not the only one who loves you. So does everyone who knows the truth. So the truth is the key to loving people. Let's go on. He says it again. I love you because of the truth that is alive in us. He doesn't say, I love you because my feelings are overwhelming. He says, I love you because of the truth that is alive in us. Again, truth and love completely linked together. This truth will be with us forever because Jesus is the truth. And he said, I am leaving and I'm sending the helper. And it says that he will remind you of everything that I told you, and he will reveal things to come. So literally, if you have received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, truth will live in you forever. Now, to the amount that you access that truth is how much time you spend with him, how much time you spend in the Word, how much time you spend in prayer talking to God, how much you transform by mind renewal, understanding that you didn't do one thing good or bad before Jesus loved you. That is awesome. And so we just respond to his love. Lord, I cannot believe that you love me this much. What must I do? Love one another as I have loved you. Do you love this love that I love you with? Oh, yes, Lord, anything in the world. Love other people with that kind of love, because it's the truth. Next verse. It has given me great joy to find some of your children living by the truth. Great joy. John has great joy knowing that her children, which again could be a real woman with real children, or it could be the lady, meaning the church, and the children, which are the people in the church. That is exactly what our Father in heaven has commanded us to do. Which is what? Which is walk in the truth. And we just found out that the truth is love. So we're supposed to be conducting our everyday life in love, which is the truth. Next verse. Dear lady, I'm not writing to you a new command. I'm writing a command we have heard from the beginning. What's he alluding to? What was our very first slide? The command from the beginning is to love one another. So he says, I'm not writing to you a new command. I'm writing a command we've had from the beginning. I'm asking that we love one another. Like, everyone knows, yep, love one another as Christ loved me. And he's like, oh, by the way, I'm going to remind you again. So it's this type of verse that I love because it gives me permission to talk about love as much as I want to. Or as much as the Holy Spirit tells me to is a better way to say it. I love to teach on love because I have found over the years of my walk in God that, yes, are there other important things? You bet. But if we don't have love, all of those other things are meaningless. We learned last week, if you don't have love, it's not just everything you do is nothing. If you do not love one another as Christ loved you, you are nothing. That is a powerful statement. How many of you like things simple? That's me. Well, what is this whole Christian business about? Love one another as Jesus loved you. Yeah, but what else? Well, there's other things, but this is the main thing. So what if we kept the main thing the main thing? And can we do all of the other things? Can we heal the sick? Yep. Can we speak in tongues? For sure. Can we raise the dead? You bet. If someone drops dead in here, we'll put that into practice. We're best. Either way, they're either coming back to life or they're going home to be with Jesus. So win-win. If we raise them from the dead and that news gets out, we might double in attendance next week. But I'm serious. Like, all of that stuff is great. But how many of us, and I'm going to be the first to put my hand out, or people you know, get obsessed with the other things and walk away from love? That it can be dangerous. We always love first, then all the cool other things. So it says, I'm not writing a new, leave it there. I'm writing a command we've heard from the beginning. I'm asking that we love one another. And I put 1 John 3:11 because that was the first slide that we had that had that. So he's actually in his second letter. That's not even going to the same person that was in the first letter. And he's quoting from another letter. If you didn't know this in the early church, those letters would circulate around churches. People would make copies of them and they would circulate. Okay, go ahead and go on. This is love. So he's going to tell us what love is. This is love, that we walk according to his commandments. Right? He's quoting Jesus. If you love me, keep my commandments. Jesus says that multiple times. If you love me, keep my commandments. And if we're in a kind of weird place, it's like, oh, well, what are all these things that I must do to prove my love to Jesus? That's not the way it's coming off. He says, keep my commandments, and then he makes the commandment singular. I'm just asking you to do what I've done for you. Love others as I have loved you. So that's why I put in parentheses, if you love me, keep my commandments, because Jesus says that multiple times in the Gospels. And then he says, John, this is the commandment, singular. And this is why I know we have permission to take all of the commandments and then make it one. I also have permission to do this. Well, I shouldn't say I have permission to do it. John did it for me. But Jesus did it as well, right? Like, what are the most important commandments in the Old Testament? And what did Jesus say? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. He says, on these two, hang all the law and the prophets. And so people many times will go, oh, well, in this life, I'm supposed to be loving the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving my neighbor as yourself. And I would say, ain't wrong. Because that was the summation of the law. But in the new covenant, it's not love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. It's love one another as I have loved you. Because in the old covenant, they did not get the fullest expression of love from God, because Jesus was not yet on the scene. So they didn't, it was just simply a command. Love your neighbor as yourself. I don't like my neighbor. They didn't have Jesus going, well, but did you receive my love from you? You need to love your neighbor that way, because in the old covenant, God the Son did not come and put on flesh and be born and come into the scene yet. This is the Old Testament. And so Jesus sums up the Old Testament into these two specific commandments. But in the new one, he says, I give you a new commandment. Love others as I have loved you. So John says, we walk according to his commandments. And I looked this up in the Greek, it's plural. But then he says, this is the commandment, singular. So we have all the commandments, plural, that boil down to the singular, love one another as I have loved you. You have heard this from the beginning, that you should conduct your everyday life in it. Again, I know some of you are like, we taught on love last week. But you know, notice it's none of these verses, maybe because it's everywhere in the Bible. Specifically the New Testament. So love is following Jesus' commandments. Jesus' commandment is to love others as he has loved us. If you do that, you're following his commandment, and that shows that you love him. Will I sing to him? Will I go to church? I take communion. Awesome. But do you love other people? Because it's kind of like what Jesus said, like, you should do the latter, but keep the former. That doesn't mean pick one or the other. But if you're like, well, I go to church every week, I do this, you know, I give a lot of money, you know, so maybe that gets me out of loving people. It doesn't. Because God doesn't care about any of that if you're not loving people. Let's go on. Okay, so this is John's third letter. I'm running out of time. He says, the elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love, he says it again. He doesn't love him with strong feelings, strong emotion. He loves him in truth. Concerning all things, everybody say all things. All things, I pray that you succeed in your life journey. That word in the Greek is prosper. You know, people are like, this is the prosperity gospel. I don't know. John's praying prosperity for his friend. You know, you figure it out. But the problem is prosperity has been distorted as God wants everybody rich, which seems weird because he tells the rich man to sell everything he has and follow Jesus. Give it to the poor. So we need to define once and for all the word prosperity, or the word prosper simply means I pray that you succeed on life's journey. So if you are on life's journey to take the gospel of the kingdom to people, I want you to succeed in that. If your job is to go and build orphanages in Africa, I want you to succeed in that. If your life's journey is going to a job so that you can provide for your family so that they can eat, I want you to succeed in that. Does that sound like I want God, if you follow Jesus, you're all going to be rich? No. But apparently, John is praying for his beloved friend Gaius, and he says, concerning all things. He wants him to be prosperous in all areas of his life, which just means that you succeed in life's journey. That doesn't sound like, hey, Gaius, I want you to be a billionaire if you follow Jesus. So this idea where people get into camps and like, prosperity gospel and this, I just wish everybody would just sit down at a table and talk. Instead of divide into camps, put up walls, and point fingers. Because did you know that the main thing that Paul, when he writes to churches, he says, I'm tired of the divisions and factions. You say you follow Peter. You say you follow Apollos. You say you believe this. You say you believe that. All of this stuff. And then we divide, we get into camps, we put up walls, and now we have divisions and factions, i.e. cliques, Christian cliques. It's wrong. It's sin. So he says, I pray that you succeed in your life's journey, prosper, and have complete health. Well, if we're supposed to have health, then why do we have a theory that when we get sick, God allowed it? Because this would seem that John does not have the right to pray for his friend Gaius that he, in all things, be healthy if he's that he might be violating God's will. So maybe John understands that God wants you well. And people are like, again, what are you saying? Are you saying God's not in control? I'm saying that he said to us, to Jesus, and Jesus said to us, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me, therefore, go. He didn't say all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, therefore, pray to me and ask if it be my will every single time. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So everything you need to know about God's will for your life, you see in Jesus. It's so simple, right? If we would just read our Bibles. And I don't say that out of frustration for anyone in the room. I say that as believers would be so much further along if we would just see what's in the Word. So he prays that he prospers. He prays that he has complete health. And look what it's linked to. Just as your soul would, in the Greek, it would say just as your soul prospers or just as your soul succeeds in life journey. There is scientific proof. And some of you may know people that like this, that once you start to have a bad outlook in life, once you start to just like, just everything is going wrong, like I'm just so tired of this world. Many times things in your body can begin to happen. Some of you may have experienced this. That's why John is highlighting a principle that he says, I pray in all ways that you prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. There are things that will manifest in your body, whether good things or bad things, that are all dependent on a prosperous soul. A soul that understands that they're loved by the Father. A soul that understands that Jesus is my brother and I'm an inheritor of heaven. When you can live in that place, we talk about identity in Christ. When you can live in that place, I believe that if you are having issues, like in your body, maybe you're tired a lot, maybe different things like that, once you have a prosperous soul, I believe that your body will get in line. I'm not saying that you'll all never be sick ever again. Please don't. That's not what I said. What I'm saying is that John very clearly, and this is a biblical passage, is linking health and prosperity to the prosperity of your soul. You are three parts. Spirit, soul, and body. You are a spirit, you have a soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions, and you live in a body. Right? So it's your mind, your will, and the emotions that have to decide, are you going to give into your flesh or are you going to listen to the Spirit? That's the war. Okay, is there any other verses? Yeah. Some believers came to me and told me that you are faithful to the truth. So we're talking about Gaius again. They told me that you continue to live by it. This news gave me great joy. And here, as we wrap this up, goes to the title of the message, I have no greater joy. John has no greater joy, nothing greater than to hear that my children are living by the truth. Now, we have no idea that John was married and had physical children. So, and he's talking to his beloved Gaius. And so, again, what I believe that he's saying in regards of children, because other apostles use the same language, is talking about their children in the faith. People that they have discipled. People that they have raised up. People that they have taught. And so John says, all of the people that I've discipled, all of the people that I've given the love of Jesus to, and you know John understood love because what's his title? The disciple whom Jesus loved. And he practiced that. In the gospel according to John, John refers to himself as the apostle or the disciple whom Jesus loved. I've talked about this before. I'm gonna do it. When I tell a story, I'm gonna be like, you know, I was sitting, there were three of us talking. There was Larry, there was April, and then there was the pastor who Jesus loves. Now that doesn't mean that Jesus doesn't love Larry or doesn't love April, but I'm practicing the love of God. Does this make sense? I'm putting it into practice. I was talking with my daughter. It was my daughter, my wife, and the pastor who Jesus loves. I love you, honey. Are we good with this? No greater love than walking in the truth, and the truth is love.